Jesus, Savior, Lord, Master, Redeemer, Friend, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But have you ever whispered the name of Jesus? It calms your heart when you just say it, when you just whisper his name. Jesus. Whisper his name, Jesus. Listen to your voice say his name, Jesus. There's something about Jesus that we can't put into words, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our hope. He's our Redeemer. He's our strength. He's our guide. He's our constant companion. He's our friend. He's the lover of our souls. He's the Master Redeemer. He's the conqueror of all of our doubts and fears. And he's the one who's going to be there to hold our hand on the day of his judgment, on the day of the Lord. Just say his name every now and then. Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, Jesus. Jesus. I don't know about you, but that brings solace to my soul. It brings hope to the inside. You know, it's an interesting world you're living in. I want you to know you're in the final days, hours, minutes of this whole world. I don't know how long we've got, but I have a sense that this world can't go on much longer like it is. There's so much lying. There's so much evil. I mean, pure evil is taking place around us. And so much deception. So, say the name of Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Our text is, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." That was Philippians 1:6. That was the verse you were supposed to memorize week before last. Did you get it down? "For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ." And when's the day of Jesus Christ? Coming very soon, like I just told you. Okay? So, be prepared. But what do you have to do? You have to be confident that God's going to continue the work that he began in you. The second verse you were supposed to memorize was real short. "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." That's not hard. Get that one down inside you. For me to live, remind yourself, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is another opportunity to be Christ in this world, to a hurting world, to a people who are looking desperately for some answers. And they look at you and they think, you've got it together. And how can they think that you've got it together when you know that you don't have it together? You know that your whole world's falling apart. You know that there's issue after issue after issue. Yet, people look at you and think, you've got it together. And why do they think that? Because they're not seeing you. They're seeing the Jesus that's in you. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Don't ever forget that you're a light shining in a dark place. He made you to be light shining in a dark place. And you will be light shining no matter where you go. Why? Because your spirit has been cleansed. And when the evil comes around you, they recognize there's something different about you. Why? Because you gave your heart to Jesus, and Jesus came in and established a place to live inside you. Now, that's special. That's something to hold on to. And then today's verse, "For this reason, also, God highly exalted him," Jesus, "bestowed upon him a name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth." Have you ever thought about that? Who are those under the earth? Those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I know that's a long one to memorize. Actually, that's three verses. But it's a powerful three verses. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. There's going to be a day that you're going to have to kneel and bow and confess his name as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today you can do it because you want to. Someday there's some evil, evil people who are going to have to confess. Because when Jesus springs forth from the eastern sky, it brightens up, Jesus comes forward, and everybody's going to see him, and they're going to have to say, oh no, he is King, he is Lord. What am I going to do? Because you see, there's two destinies out there, folks, and you want to be bound for the right one. You don't want to go to the dark side. You want to go to the light side. You are the light of the world, and wherever you are, it dispels the darkness. Why? Because you are the light of the world. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there be any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being the same of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. It amazes me how much power Paul could pack into a few words, into one section of Scripture. He had the gift of assimilating the message of God into the words of man to make them come evident. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed. And Paul realized when he sat down to pen and to write, he was writing the words of God. He allowed the Holy Spirit to message through him. God will message through you the same way. Did you know that? Paul is talking to us loud and clear. He's saying fellowship is that opportunity for you to come together in his spirit. Because when two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the middle of that and he's with you. And so in the first two verses of chapter 2, he says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation, comfort or support of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent in one purpose. Paul tells the Philippian church to live in unity, to serve one another. Love, affection, compassion. You don't get that sometimes in a group setting like this, but you do get that in a small group. And that's why our clusters, our small groups are so vital. You come together into a small group and you become a part of each other. And you laugh with each other. You pray with each other. You cry with each other. You celebrate with each other. That's what small groups are for. And you do that all around the Word of God. And he blesses that group. Okay? And he makes you one. And it's like a family. And you are a family. And that's what he's saying to the Philippians. If there's any encouragement in Christ, for being in Christ, if any consolation, comfort, or support, or love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. In other words, I will rejoice knowing that you are standing together as a cohesive fellowship in Jesus Christ. Then all of a sudden, you are intent on one purpose. That's why clusters and home groups are united in the Spirit, and they are intent on one purpose. And what is that? They get together to see each other face to face, to share maybe something to eat. Open the Word of God and see what God's going to say to them through the Word and through each other as they get together. Are you part of a small group? If not, why not? You need to be a part of a small group. I could just open up for testimonies. I could tell you there's people around this room who will tell you that their whole life is built up. They look forward every week to their small group more than anything else. Why is that? Because God gathers together when two or three are gathered in His name. I don't want you to miss it, okay? Two or three gathered in Jesus' name makes a powerful group. A message happens. Jesus comes in the middle. There's nothing we can't do if we can stand together in Christ Jesus. Nothing that can't be accomplished. Do you believe that? I've seen it over and over. When I stepped out on faith 3 years ago and said, let's see if we can raise $70,000 to get this building back in order, to get our pavement and our driveway straightened out. You know, I first had a little faith saying, I'm not sure if we can do this because we were barely paying our bills. But I laid it out before you, and God blessed. And we could do it when we did it together. We couldn't do it individually. Is there anybody in here who can write a $70,000 check to the church? If you do, see Joyce right afterwards. She's waiting for you. But seriously, you know, what we can do together is phenomenal. Not just raising money, but we can build things together. We can build fellowship together. We can actually reach out into our community and let them know that we care about them. When we work together, we can touch thousands of people at one time. Our little congregation, we do it every year, right after Thanksgiving, when we all gather together on the square. And we, our small group of church, we touch thousands of people on one evening, telling them God loves them and that we care about them. I am assured that God's not done with this church yet, because we are here in His name and we are going to expect great things. I'm going to expect great things. Are you? But Paul was concerned about their attitude. And that's what kind of gets me. Verse 3 tells you, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Ouch. That is one of the hardest things in the Christian faith to do. For us to actually have the attitude that Christ had, and that is to not do anything out of selfish concerns, our own conceit, to see what I have done with humility, putting ourselves down so we can lift somebody else up. I want you to succeed. I want all of you to be a part of the strength of this body. And so therefore, we need to encourage one another. So watch what comes out of your mouth. When you start talking about this church, don't let anything but good come out of your mouth. Because if bad comes out, then you're murmuring. God will never bless murmurers. As a matter of fact, He'll let you wander in the wilderness indefinitely. So we've got to stop murmuring and start being grateful for what we've got. I am grateful for what we've got. We've got a few workers that are very helpful in getting everything done around here. We need a few more, a lot more. We need you. We need all of you. So when I look out and see things that are going on, I'm excited. When I look out in the cafe and I see Dean and Joyce back there once again, fixing up, cleaning up, getting ready to serve you guys on Sunday morning. And she brings in their helpers and they come in and work behind them. When you see Doug out there with that silly face of his, you know, he's out there just to smile and let you know, hey, you guys, welcome to the church. And you all laugh at him, but you all love him, don't you? And I am so grateful for Grace and all that she does. She works in the cafe, and then she works, and she gets all the stuff done for the prep work for the message this morning. And I'm so grateful for our worship team. And, you know, they work hard. They put energy into what they do. I'm grateful to have Ellie back on the drums, because drums really adds to our music. And we are grateful to have Ellie. And so I'm just praising the Lord for what's going on right now. And I just want you to continue. Don't give up. Okay, so don't do anything out of selfish or empty conceit, but with humility, Consider others more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also look out for the interests of others. In other words, make sure that there's a place for somebody else beside you on Sunday morning. Make sure that you want to reach out into the community because they're hurting right now, guys. And you've got the answer. We've got the answer. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Whisper his name, Jesus, Jesus. Don't whisper his name out of contempt or because you're angry. Whisper his name because you love him and you just need to hear his name. And so he says, then we get to a message that's really strong in our hearts. That's Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, your mind has to be renewed. If your mind is renewed, then you can begin to do what Philippians 2, 5, and 6 says. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. You would have to have the mind of Christ in order to have the attitude of Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, as he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So if you want to have the mind of Christ, if you want to get the attitude of Christ, you've got to put on the mind of Christ. So therefore, you've got to present yourselves before God. How do you do that? Here I am, God. Lord, speak to me. Put thoughts in my mind. Take the bad thoughts out of my mind. Here I am, Lord. Use me today. That's presenting yourself to God. And you need to do that on a regular basis. Just present yourself to him and then listen. Listen very intently, because when you listen, he's going to talk to you. He's going to talk to every one of us in different ways. Kids think in pictures. Wade's book comes and says, I think in pictures today. I get words from the Lord in pictures. And so we're all a little bit different. Some of us think in pictures, some of us think in words. Some of us get a feeling. You sense things. And somehow you just know things. Now, if you take all three of those and you give them to the Lord as you present yourself to God, all of a sudden God can use any of those three to speak in and through you to somebody else. He can use you in whatever mode your brain works with. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. But Jesus, who was in the very form of God, did not consider being equality with God is something to be grasped. In other words, he didn't want to lord himself over you. He says, I'm God. You do what I say. No. He didn't consider grabbing onto that. He became a servant, a humble servant. He presented himself and served people. He got down and washed their feet after dirty walking through the streets. I tell you, your Savior is something else. And he will not only wash the disciples' feet, he'll wash your feet. He will wash your feet because he loves you that much. Jesus did not hang on his heavenly glory, but surrendered it to save us. Now he asks us to follow his example. He says, now just follow my example. Just share my heart. Just do as you saw me do. Live as you saw me live. He wants us to treat each other as he treated us, thinking of their own needs and God's will before our own will. Do you know how hard that is? When I have a will and a desire to do something, and you have a will and a desire to do something different, and I want to serve you, to allow you to have your will to go before mine, is not an easy thing. It's even harder if you're married. And if you can do that with each other, if you can do that with the world, they will know that there's something strange about you, and that strangeness is that Holy Spirit that got a hold of your heart. When the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart, He changed you. So therefore, you got to be renewed in your mind. You got to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't have to present your spirit because Jesus took care of that. Praise God. That's your inroad. And once He planted His seed inside you, He begins to permeate all through you. He wants to take over every aspect of your life. Sometimes that happens quickly, and sometimes it's like pulling teeth. You don't want to give up. You keep holding on. Lord, I lied. I deserve to have this attitude. They cheated me. I have a right to be mad at them, to be angry at them, to not forgive them. We hold on to our anguish. And the Holy Spirit keeps whispering, let it go. And slowly but surely, you find ways to do it. I tell people, pray for people. Allow the Holy Spirit to conquer your mind and your body. You know, conquering your mind is one thing. Conquering your body is totally different. Because your body has urges and desires. And you've got to learn how to control that as well. Present your body as a living sacrifice. If you learn how to get in His Spirit, He can give you the control of your heart and your mind that you've always wanted. He can give you freedom from the lusts that conquer your mind. If you just let Him. He wants us to treat each other that way too. Now that's one revolution that I hope I get to be a part of, and I think that's beginning to happen among Christians right now. And I don't want this church to miss out. I want us to join that revolution of churches that are standing strong, who are building up the faith, and that we can stand and say, yes, Jesus is alive today. He is on the throne today, and we are going to present Him to you, world. So, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Can you do it? No, you can't do it. But with God's help, you can do all things. So can you trust God to do it? Yes. So you got to trust God to do it. How did Jesus do it? He emptied Himself by taking on the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross, a disastrous death. How did Jesus accomplish being humbled and serving us? He emptied Himself of Himself. He emptied Himself and became a slave. He didn't see slavery as a bad thing. He saw slavery as a way to serve. And if He could serve, then He could help people understand how much He loves them. And so He wanted everybody in the whole world to know how much He loved them. So what did He do? He gave up His life. He was born in of a bondservant, and being born in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. When He said, not my will, but your will be done, He began to sweat drops of blood. Is it hard to empty yourself even to the point of death? You betcha it is. It's probably the hardest thing you'll ever do. But when someone knows you're willing to die for them, they listen to you because they know that you are out for their best interest, that you're willing to spend your time to do what they need. So He says in verse 9, for this reason also God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon Jesus the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee would bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the objective, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that your objective of those that you encounter in your life? That you can hear out of their mouths, Jesus Christ is Lord? You know, that is the one statement, is the most powerful statement that can ever be voiced. For you to say in your heart, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and mean it. that you've given your life over to him so much that he is your Lord. And you're going to take orders from him. If he's your Lord, that's what you're supposed to do. You need to listen to what he has to say and then do it. What is Jesus doing in your life? What's he telling you to do? Well, Paul tells us to work out our salvation, but immediately follows that with how God does it. He says it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. He says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to desire and to work for his good pleasure. Now, that almost seems like Paul's talking on both sides of his mouth. He said, okay, guys, I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Get to work. You got to work out your salvation. Get to work. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then he says, for it is God's good pleasure to do what? To work out your salvation. For it is God who is at work in you, both his to desire and to work for his good pleasure. So you're to work it out, but God is going to do it. It's his good pleasure to work out your salvation inside you. In other words, you're not in this battle in there by yourself. You're not doing all the working by yourself. As you work on your own faith and your own walk in Jesus, you're walking with Jesus, and he's talking to you. He's speaking to your mind. He's speaking to your body. He's helping you. He's, you know, guiding you in the right direction. Now, you'll fall off the path every now and then, and you'll fall on your face every now and then. But guess what? Get up. You can sit and wallow in the mud for a while, or you can get up. And if you get up, God will wash you clean again and dust you off and say, okay, it's time to get back on the right road. Salvation comes only through Jesus. And we've got to remember that. Only through Jesus. He washes your spirit and he moves in with you. Compassion. Hope. God pities you. He pities me. And be grateful that he does. Because he realizes you can't do it on your own. He knows that you need help. He knows that you need his strength. He knows that you can't handle your world and your issues and your problems without him. Some of you are trying really hard and you're getting really tired. It's working you down. And you've got to stand up and say, okay, I've got to let this go and give it to Jesus. We're to allow ourselves to humble ourselves, let all the praise we get for what we're doing go back to Jesus. That completes the cycle. And then Jesus' name is above every name. And at his name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And our lives are going to be representative of his name. It's the sweetest name I know. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no other else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind whereby we must be saved. Paul says it all right there. Your only hope is in Jesus. So relax. The work's already done. You're saved. Your spirit is cleaned. Now you've got a job to do. Work on your own body and mind. Present them as living sacrifices. So I think there's inroads to the spirituality that we can all meet. That's one that I would like to hit. To heal me. I know he can. And I know he will. And I know he can take two or three together in his name and make us a powerful, powerful witness for him. We just have to be together in his name. For at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess, on earth, in heaven, and under the earth. For the glory of God the Father.